I'd like to thank all of you for your prayers and all of you for continuing to support me and my family. Thank you for all your kindness.
Amen.
Amen. I've been in many churches, but this is without doubt the finest ministerial staff I've ever seen since I've been in churches. It's good to be with brethren who love the Lord like you do. From the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, a very familiar passage of scripture here, not in a lot of other places, but here. For Elder Livermore is our reader. So, Elder, I will read it in the King James and you could read it in the Greek. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. From the Greek.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 in the Greek text. For by grace ye are, having been saved through faith, and this not of you, of God the gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
My Lord. Thank you. The Apostle Paul's brilliant letter to the Ephesians entails many outstanding truths. He lets them know that it's through the will of God that this epistle was written. In verse 1, as stated in verse 1. In the second verse, he uses the love twins, grace and peace. This book is different from any book in the whole Bible because it tells what kind of blessings, what the blessings are. In verse 3, he lets us know in Ephesians 1 and 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And if Ella would read the what it says there in the Greek, 1 and 3.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse, the Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
In Christ. Amen. So, this book does not concentrate on the sensual things that the Old Testament and the Gospels concentrate on. Right. That is seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and tasting.
Right.
And I will go into that just a little bit more, just a second. But it's concentrated on spiritual matters. Stating in verse 5 that we are the body of Christ, chosen before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
In verse 4, being made children by adoption through predestination. And what a wonderful gift. How humbling to think that God thought enough of me and you that are saved to choose you from the foundation of the world to be saved.
Amen.
That's very, very humbling. In light of all of the things and circumstances we see today in churches, it's very humbling to know that us, that God chose us before the foundation of the world, that we would be a part of His body. And that makes me feel real good. It makes me feel great. And it should make you feel the same.
Yes.
And then he lets us know here why, because it was done according to the good pleasure of His will.
My Lord.
Not ours.
Thank God.
See, your will would never get you to heaven. Because the Bible tells us that the heart is deceivable of all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? God has to do the work.
Oh, my God.
We can't do anything. God has to do it all.
Yes, sir.
And I wish we could get that through our head, because we really think that we can do things.
Yeah.
But we can do nothing. So as he goes on here to the glory and the praise of which is another way of saying election. So God elected us before the foundation of the world to be saved.
Yes.
And I'm going to deal with that a great deal in this message today. Our text is a text that is hated, despised, or ignored, primarily because it's God doing the working. We don't like things like that. We like things. We like to think that we're doing what we have to do. But this is a work. This is a spiritual work.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That man has nothing to do with.
Amen.
This is all about God. It's all about Jesus and nothing about us. And I'm glad it's that way.
Thank God.
Because when you have grace, it takes man out the picture.
Yes,
it does. He has nothing to contribute.
That's right.
Nothing. Yeah. Not a thing. So it's by the vast amount of modern day ministries or churches, the key verb in this verse is from the Greek, is the Greek pro or isa sa. And I hope I'm getting close to the pronunciation. Not as good as my pastor, but I'm working on it. Translated foreordained, which is derived from combining pro or se, so, which respectively means beforehand.
Right.
Which means beforehand or prior to or set bounds,
right.
Limits, and restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is saved through grace.
Right.
It's just those that have been called and saved before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
I convey the idea that the limit beforehand, thus in prior time to design and determine or to ordain beforehand, to predestinate.
Mm-hmm.
This verb is an aorist participle,
right.
Which as it implies foreordaining of God's elect.
Right.
Thank God.
This adds to the fact that salvation is by grace.
All right.
And it's a fruitful work done on a believer's behalf. So it's all about God and what He's done,
what He has done.
And not about us.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
The thought is that God chose or foreordained individuals to be holy and blameless prior to creating the world.
All right.
And that's what we have in Christ.
Right.
Now, you said, well, doesn't it say about grace through faith and that not of yourselves? The Bible says it is a gift of God.
Right.
It's by Him. And it's because of the faithfulness of Christ,
Amen.
The faithful work of Christ, that we are saved.
Amen.
Not on our own, because, as I said again, not our faith. Our faith doesn't measure up. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. I'm going to go to the book of Revelation. a very familiar passage of Scripture, chapter 13 and verse 8. And I'd like for Elder Liverman to read that for me, please.
Philippians.
I'll read it in King James. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life, and of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Elder.
Revelation chapter 13.
13 and verse 8.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 in the Greek text. And will worship him, all the ones dwelling on the earth, of whom has not been written the name of him in the scroll of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world.
The manifestation took part in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the work had been done back in eternity.
Yes, sir.
It was just manifested here in time for us.
Right.
But it all had taken place long before that happened,
right,
back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what we see here is that before we can go into grace, we have to discuss really what was there before grace came. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, I'd like for Elder Liverman to read that for me, please, because we're going to get into the heart of the message.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
I'll read it from the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Elder.
2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, verse 15, Greek text. Be eager thyself approved to present to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Now, this, if it wasn't important for us to divide or cut it straight, then we would just, why did the Holy Spirit tell Paul to write it that way? We could just take the Bible here from cover to cover and read it and apply it to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But he says to study, show yourself approved, rightly divide the word or cut it straight. What we have here when we first are on the scene here is that we have when Jesus came under the law, and he came with signs, wonders, and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews require a sign.
Right.
And that's why he came with the miracles and signs and wonders that he did.
Right.
It was a kingdom message.
Mm-hmm.
That message today people are preaching in churches, and that is not our message. Our message is the grace of God.
Yes.
It is not the kingdom message.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how you cut it and try to put it in and decipher, put it into any other way. That kingdom message is not our message.
Right, right.
Our message is the grace of God that was given to Paul.
Amen.
By the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it was given to him from a vertical position.
Amen.
The kingdom message is a horizontal position.
Right.
It deals with how you feel, touch, hear, smell, see, or whatever things to do on this condition right here.
Right here.
Down here on the ground here.
Amen.
Down here on the earth. All the things that we see that we could identify with, that's what the kingdom message was about.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember that what God gives you in each dispensation is limited knowledge for that dispensation.
Right.
What they had at that time was, only thing that they knew was the horizontal message of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And doing or trying to keep the law as best as possible,
mm-hmm,
and that's the horizontal message.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus called Paul, which was a Pharisee, which was in the law, and he was horizontal,
yes,
the incline, but he pulled him out and took him out, and we're going to look at that here and show you.
Amen.
What he did was, he called him out.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to the book of Galatians chapter here, book of Galatians here. And we're going to go to the first chapter, the 15th, 16th, and 17th verse. And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 2. And then we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15.
Galatians chapter 1, beginning with the 15th verse. But when was pleased,
okay, I'm there. Okay. Ella, I'm there.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when was pleased, the one that having separated me from the womb of mother of me, and having called through the grace of him to reveal the son of him in me, in order that I might preach him among the nations. Immediately I confer not with flesh and blood.
Amen. Okay. Go ahead, Elder.
Immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. Verse 17. Neither did I go up to Jerusalem to the before me apostles, but I went away into Arabia and again returned to Damascus.
Okay, now if you go over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, please.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, Greek text. Then through 14 years again, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking with me also Titus, and I went up according to a revelation, and I put before them the gospel which I proclaim among the nations, privately, but to the one seeming less in vain, I ran, but not Titus, the one with me, a Greek, being, was compelled to be circumcised.
Okay, just go look at this right here. First of all, let's take it from where we are here. The point that I want to make is that the Holy Spirit is making through me this morning is this, is that the apostles that Jesus called to be his apostles, they witnessed and saw the things that went on in the kingdom message. That message dealt with the things, as I said, see, touch, hear, feel, spill, all those things. And that message went out to the Jewish people. It wasn't to the Gentiles. That message was to the Jews only. He wasn't called for the Gentiles. So what he did when Paul, which was a Jew, was called, and he was a Pharisee, he brought him into, he called him, going on the road to Damascus to destroy the churches. And what happened was is that as he was called out, he was, of course, we know he was baptized by Ananias and he was blinded for 3 days and all those things. And the Jews require a sign. Paul got the sign in that he saw Jesus on the way to Damascus. And then not only that, he was blinded. A Jew must have a sign. So God is very consistent in what he does. So when he takes him out, Paul is sent to Arabia. He gets the message from Jesus by revelation.
My Lord, bring it out.
His message was vertical from heaven to Paul, and he gave him a special message. His message was not like the message of the kingdom. Now, if you think that you're going to get the message of grace in the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then I'm here to tell you, you're sadly mistaken. You're not going to get it because it wasn't written to you. Matthew was written to show that Jesus is the king. Mark shows him as a servant. And Luke shows him as Son of Man. And then John as the eternal Son of God. But the grace message came from Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul to Gentiles.
Right.
To the Gentile people.
Right.
Why? Because we had no hope. We were at best a proselyte or someone who was converted to the Jewish religion. But as far as us being a part of the Jewish household or faith, it wasn't so. And we were brought in as proselytes.
Right.
That's why we see the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts going up to Jerusalem and he gets saved. He's in the kingdom church.
Mm-hmm.
Our message is from Paul vertical. And he deals with us in all God. Spiritual blessings.
Amen.
Are you with me today? I solicit your prayers. Man. So, he says here, now let's see what the message was about. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's take a look at that. Chapter 3 and verse 3. This was given to Paul as a mystery. And this we have, Ella, would you read that for me, please?
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. That by way of revelation was...
There we go again. Revelation.
Was made known to me...
To who? The Apostle Paul.
The mystery.
The mystery. What is the mystery?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
As I previously wrote in brief...
Go ahead.
As to which ye can read in to realize the understanding of me in the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
Which in other generations not was made known to the sons of men.
It wasn't made to anybody else. It wasn't made to any of the... It wasn't made to Isaiah,
nope.
Jeremiah,
nope.
Noah, Moses, or any of them.
Nope.
It wasn't... This is what Paul gets. It's completely different.
Amen.
And completely new.
Amen.
It doesn't have anything to do with all of the things that the other apostles and prophets came before him. This is something where God is going to deal with mankind as a whole besides the Jewish people.
Amen.
Go ahead.
As now it was revealed to the holy apostles of him and prophets in spirit. To be the nation's joint heirs and a joint body and joint sharers of the promise in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Through the gospel of which I became a minister.
Amen.
According to the gift of the grace of God.
The gift of the grace of God.
Given to me according to the operation of the power of Him.
Amen. So what we have here is that we have now the church, which is the body of Christ,
Amen.
Is made up of Jewish people that were saved at that time and now, and Gentiles. So they are the body. Okay? And literally, we are Christ's body. He is the head. We are the body. Amen. And it's because of the grace of God that this came about. Now that ought to make you feel real good. That ought to make you feel so good. Amen. Just think of where you would be without Christ. I don't like to think about where I would be without Christ. So don't come telling me I can lose my salvation or anything like that. Because if I can lose it, and that means that I had something to do with getting it.
Right.
And if that's the case, then I might as well leave this pulpit right now, leave this church, because I couldn't keep it.
Amen.
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 I just get up and walk out. You pray for my soul burning in hell, because if it's left up to me, I'd be straight in hell.
Amen.
And all of us would.
That's it.
The Bible says that none do it good, no, not one.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who you are and how you walk and how you talk. No matter how good your English is or your Greek or your Hebrew or anything else, you're born a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And the only way that you can be saved is by the grace of God. You have no works to contribute. Now, people don't like that. I remember when I was talking to Deke, and I bring this up quite a bit when I come to a Bible class, and
Amen.
Pastor would say, we are nothing. And you know that this flesh get all crinkly and rough. Roughed up, don't tell me I'm nothing,
right.
You know. and I talk to Deacon, we would say, I'm nothing, you know. He'd tell me, you're nothing. And I used to sit right over here. And he'd say, you're nothing. And every time he said that, he said, Christ is everything. Yeah. I can agree with that. But I want to think, well, I'm just worth a little bit of something. And don't we all think we're just a little bit? But if the little bit is what you think you are, then grace is nullified.
Right, right, right.
Amen.
Because you are nothing. And you are who you are by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. So once I kept coming, then the flesh got in order because of the teaching of the word got my flesh down.
Right.
But I didn't like it.
Right.
Amen.
See,
I'm honest with myself.
That's it. Amen.
I'm honest. I didn't like it. But once the scriptures tell me what I was, and I looked at it, and then I discipled it, and then with the word coming to me, what could I say?
Amen.
But just agree that I am nothing. And you're nothing. None of us are nothing. Amen. The Bible says, dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. And if we act in this way because we're dust and we think we're something, what if God would have made us in gold and then it was just gold dust? We really think we're something. Hello? Amen. If we can really push it up now, we dust. Just put a mineral, any kind of mineral in there, and we would really think that God wasn't anything. We had everything to do with ourselves.
Right, Ellen. Preach it.
Right.
All right.
Bless Jesus. Bless the Lord.
We go on here. So we have the two gospels.
Yep.
Sadly, and I can't remember the mother who said that righteousness is right whether nobody lives it. Grace is grace whether nobody believes it or not.
Amen.
And grace is going to be here because this is the dispensation of grace. Whether you like it or not. Now you can preach your kingdom gospel and you can tell all about all the different works and signs and wonders and all of that and Acts 2:38 and all of that. But the fact of the matter is we are in this dispensation.
Yes.
This dispensation is grace. Yes. For by grace are you saved through faith and that out of yourselves. Not of works, lest any should boast. You know why he says not of works? Because, you know, Elder Liverman and I and Sister Cutler is in the school system. And I don't have to tell you, Sister Harris was there. And I don't have to tell you about how people lie.
Numbers.
And they lie from the time they're this high till the time they die. And if they think that they've done one good little thing,
numbers.
Come on now. To say that they have gotten over just a little bit better than somebody else, even though they're lying, they will stick by that lie and say and make you try to believe that they're telling the truth. But the Bible says that there's none to do it good. No, not one. Amen? The Bible says they were all going out the way. But I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all because of Jesus.
Glory to God.
Amen. So we're going to see this. So what manifested this? Well, the love of God, the love for us in eternity. And I was talking to the pastor and I said, I try to get the bigger picture. But I can't get a big enough picture of why God will save us and then make us a part of his body. Amen? This is something that's totally incomprehensible to anybody who really tried to love the Lord. But we have here John 3:16, and I know that's not in our gospel there, but I just want to corroborate that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I just want to deal with it. He says that God so loved the world of the believer, that that's what it's about, the world of the believer. And the ones that he saved, that he gave Christ, and it was manifested 2,000 years ago.
Right.
but it was actualized back in eternity.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So what we see here is that, and since Paul's message is vertical with all spiritual blessings, then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, henceforth we know no man by the flesh. The message should be given today should be spiritual messages, not concentrating on the flesh. I looked at the parade of preachers this morning, and I didn't get one grace message. If I go home tonight and I turn on the TV, I won't get one grace message. If I get one, I'm going to shout and be ready to go through that TV. I haven't heard a grace message since... Who preached last Sunday? I haven't heard a grace message since Deacon Gavin preached last Sunday. I know that there are grace messages out there.
Yeah.
I just haven't heard them on TV. Amen? Let me go on. All right. Through grace we have justification and peace.
Thank you.
In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1.
Hallelujah.
I just feel so good about Christ. I just love him so much. Amen. And before we get there, I was teaching down at the shelter down there in Highland Park. And people came there. They were in a shelter. And I taught there for, I guess, almost 3 years. And it was pretty good Bible classes there. And so they always seem like they're so eager. And I said, you guys are so eager and everything. I said, what we're going to do is we're going to have a whole night of Bible from 5 o'clock that night until 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, if you are willing, I said, I'll go with you through this whole Bible here. Didn't know what I know now, but I was willing to try to get them going. And yeah, let's do it, Reverend, let's do it. But slowly, one by one, they all dropped off, you know. But I'm committed to the fact that if I could be here 7 days a week, 3 or 4 hours a day, study God's Word, then I'd do it. That's how much I love the Lord. And some of you probably love the Lord as much or more than I do. But I just think that you should have the knowledge of Christ. I think it's very, very, very sorry that a person goes to church all his life and doesn't know anything about Jesus. But about a message that doesn't really concern them. Okay, let's take it here. It doesn't apply to them. Okay, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Ella?
Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Greek text. Having been justified, therefore, by faith, peace we have with God, through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, through whom also... the access we have had by faith unto this grace in which we stand and boast on hope of the glory of God.
Amen. Now can you, I don't expect any amens here, but can you imagine what Christ, what life would be about without Christ? You'd have no peace. Justification is a legal term. That we've been declared righteous before God because of what Christ has done for us. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? Can you imagine what you're trying to find? I was out there. You were out there. And you never had any peace. You don't have any peace in this world. Mm-hmm. This world is temporary. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about it permanent. Mm-hmm. And everything is going to pass away. Mm-hmm. Don't put your hope in this. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth.
Amen.
Everything is going to come apart. Everything. You can't put any hope in this system at all.
Hallelujah.
Because there is nothing permanent here.
Right.
You can't tell me that you think that America is going to be around like it is now 100 years from now.
No way.
The way things are going, I'm giving America 40 years. That's my comment and that's it. But I'm just going on. I'm just saying this, that we ought to be thankful for the peace. And now we've been justified by grace, peace, by Jesus Christ. We take everything so, just like, you know, we just don't seem like we have an appreciation for it. Amen. All right, let me go on. because I don't think you... So it's based on election, and some of the gifts of grace is when you have the grace of God in you, it humbles you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I magnify my office.
My Lord, right.
The office magnifies the man, but the man magnifies the office.
All right,
John. Amen?
All right.
So if you got... So if you're so big, the larger you are, the smaller God is in your life. The bigger God is, the smaller you are.
That's right. Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
You want to be, you want to carry yourself and be humble to the fact that it's just by the grace of God that I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more or nothing less.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me to see people boast about what they are and who they are and what their faith is and all that. That's not of God, because when you have Christ, you want to be as humble as you can be. Amen. All right. So, and then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, it tells us about the wisdom, and he lets us know it's not fleshly wisdom that we have; it's spiritual wisdom. And when we have spiritual wisdom, it gives us the right, the way to make the right decisions. It gives us a sound mind that we're able to make the right decisions, and through the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are out there ourselves and we don't have the word behind us, you know yourself that if you don't have the word, you're susceptible to a many, many things.
Yes.
The Bible says in corroboration, thy word in Psalms chapter 119 says that thy word have I hid in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's word. God's word will keep you and guide you and strengthen you. There is nothing more important in the world than God's word. Amen?
Amen.
And if we could believe, if we say it, if we believed it, we could be a lot better off. There's too many people today giving lip service to God and his word, but they are not really concerned about the impact that they have. Grace gives us the way, the right way to glorify God.
That's right.
In Romans chapter 15, and Elder, I'm going to ask you to read that for me. Romans chapter 15.
Romans chapter 15.
Five, six, and seven. I'm sorry.
Greek text, verse 5, 6, and 7. And the God of patience and of comfort given to you the same thing to mind among one another according to Christ Jesus, in order that with one accord, with one mouth, you may glorify the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Stop right there. With one accord, did we make what? With one accord, with one mouth. In other words, the Grace Church should be preaching the same thing. It shouldn't be kingdom over here, grace over here. It should be one accord where we're preaching the same thing. If I'm in the faith, I should be able to go to any church that's a New Testament church and hear the same message. I shouldn't have to go to one church specifically to hear the grace of God when it's been given to all of us.
Amen.
Go down here, it's about speaking in tongues. Go over here, it's about being baptized a certain way. Go over here, if you're not baptized in that particular church, then you're not saved at all.
Right.
Go to this church, you got to be a mourner's bench.
Right.
Go to this church and no, it's not that. If not baptized in the Lord Jesus. Well, you keep dissecting and dissecting and dissecting, and you're still all wrong.
That's right.
Have mercy.
It's crazy. If I'm going to a Cadillac dealer, I'm going to get a Cadillac. Amen.
If I'm going to a Ford dealer, I'm going to get a Ford. I don't go to a Ford dealer to get a Cadillac.
That's it.
I get kind of emotional sometimes. It just makes me sick. It makes me angry to see what they've done to the grace of God.
Have mercy.
So, on one accord, go ahead, Elder.
Amen. On one accord, okay, verse 7, wherefore, receive ye one another as also Christ receive us. To the glory of God, for I say, Christ, a minister, to have become of circumcision on behalf of the truth of God.
So,
to confirm the promises of the fathers.
So, the Bible says, Paul says, what? Receive not a brother with doubtful disputation. The word ought to be spoken, the same word, and we ought to be treating people the same way. Hello? I shouldn't have to go out into the world and be treated better than people that are in the body of Christ. I'm going on. You don't hear me.
Have mercy.
Going on. Amen. Grace gives us sacrifice of praise. And I know you, I'm going to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, but that's not going to be my main focus. We're going to go to Acts chapter 16. This is past the transition now. Okay, chapter 16, verse 20 through 25. Let's go there to Acts. Hebrews tells we ought to give the sacrifice of the praise of our lips, but I want to go to Acts because I want to show you something here that I think that we don't look at a lot of times. Acts chapter 16, verse 20.
Acts chapter 16 and verse 20.
Just a minute before you go into that, Elder. How much do you love the Lord? How much will you, it's going to show you here, how much the Apostle Paul and those early disciples paid for loving the Lord. Go ahead, Elder.
Acts chapter
16, verse 20.
Verse 20. And bringing to them the prayers, said, These men are greatly troubling of us in the city, Jews being, and they announce customs which...
Just a minute, Elder. How many of us could give a defense of grace of our grace gospel and might be scared to do it? I don't mind telling you myself. You might not like it, but Pastor Taylor, you preach the message whether nobody want to hear it or not. They get up and walk out, you still preach the message.
Amen.
If somebody there, they talking to you and everything, they want the truth, then give them a message about the grace gospel, whether they like it or not. Want to get up and leave, then let them get up and leave. But you ought to stand for something. Go ahead.
Then are greatly troubling of us, the city, Jews being, verse 21, and they announce customs which it is not lawful for us to receive, nor to do, Romans, being Romans. Verse 22, you read on?
Go ahead.
And rose up together the crowd against them, and the prelates tearing off of them the garments commanded to...
Stop right there. You think that when they tore those garments off them, you think that they left anything on them? That's what they paid in those days, the Apostle Paul. But that's why I want to go on a little bit further. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
To flog, and many, verse 23, and many laying on them stripes.
Hold it. Stripes? Do you think that they're taking paint and painting stripes on them? They're whipping them. Okay, unmercifully. Go ahead.
And flew unto prison, charging the jailer security to keep them, who were charged, such having received them, threw them into the inner prison, and the feet secured of them stocks.
Stop right there. First of all, they were beaten, naked and beaten, and then they were put in prison. And then what they did was they put them in stocks, and they didn't put them on the outside of the prison for somebody could see them. They put them in the inner part so nobody could see them. Go ahead.
And about midnight, Paul and Silas praying, praise in a hymn God.
Stop. That's what I wanted to get to right there. You see, no matter what the circumstances was, Paul could always rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Some of us, if we lose a shoe, we got all go all out of whack and everything. But the fact of the matter is, if you're poor as a church mouse, you still got Jesus. And in God's terms, you're richer than anybody here on earth with just a little bit that you got down here.
Glory to God.
So it's not about how much you got. It's what you have in Christ.
Amen.
Because we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Everything in this world, outside this world here, in the heavenlies, is a part of us. You don't hear me. And we don't even think about that. We think about, what's about the light bill? What about the house note? What about this and what about that? It's all temporary and it's going to be leaving anyway. But when you got Jesus, it doesn't matter what the situation is, you can rejoice in Christ.
Amen.
That's what you ought to be thinking about. I got Jesus. My wife picked me up the other day on one car right now, and I said, honey, we poor as church mice, but I got Jesus. Amen. And that's enough. Amen. That's all I need.
Thank God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, I just want to say a few more things, because before I go any further, let me say this and say, with all, not trying to braggadocio or anything like that, I could preach 10 more messages on grace. And it's a lot of things that I'm not getting to, because we're going to go on because of, we're fighting the clock. Amen. But just remember that it's the gift of God. It was actualized in eternity and given to us in time. And when you got saved, you came down the aisle.
Thank God.
I remember in Lansing, I came down the aisle, and Reverend Scott, who later moved to Detroit, and I got baptized and all of that, everything. But that was done in eternity. Amen. It was just manifested in time, or made aware of me in time. But that took place back before the foundation of the world. Amen? That's what I want to tell you. Now, as I get ready to come to just a few things here, and I'm getting ready to close. He says here that, I want you to go with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18. Go ahead, Elder.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with the 17th verse. For the present likeness of the afflictions excessively to assess.
Stop in right there. Just these things that we're going through now, it says over here in the King James Version, for this our light affliction, which is but for what? A moment. Time with you is going to stop. Time with me is going to stop. But eternity goes on forever.
Hallelujah.
And what you're going through now is light compared to the blessings in eternity.
Right.
Eternity is going on right now. It's just that we're in an increment of time. But eternity is going on. But one day, we're going to leave this place.
Yes,
the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. As Martin Luther King said, longevity has its place. But I'm more concerned about being in Christ now than living a long time. I'm concerned about my soul and my body and my spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, what he talks about. I'm concerned about the sanctity of my body, soul, and my spirit right now and in eternity. All of the things, the light afflictions that we have now is going to pass away. And it's a miracle that I'm standing here this morning because you came and saw me from my operation. But I know that God is the will of God and not myself. And I just thank God that he brought me back as fast as he did. And as Pastor said, I'm not being frisky about it. I just feel good. Amen. So go ahead, Elder.
Amen.
Tell him, don't be frisky now. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Elder. Bound the glory of God. Wherefore we faint not, but if indeed the outward of us man is being disabled.
Okay, now stop right there. In the Greek, okay, go ahead.
Yet the inward of us is being renewed.
Man.
Day and day.
Okay. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse, I mean 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Read that for me, Elder. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1.
For everybody we know. Got your King James Bible. I want you to look at this right here. This will show you something. Go ahead.
For we know that if the earthly of us house of the tabernacle is destroyed, a building of God we have, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens.
Look what it says in King James. For we know if this house of our earthly house, house of tabernacle, were dissolved. What do you mean, were dissolved? This flesh has got to be destroyed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's got to be destroyed. This body that we have is a vile, malicious body against God. It must be destroyed.
Yes.
It must go down to the ground. And the earthworms must get it and destroy it.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Amen. Verse 2. Indeed.
Wait just a minute. Go back where it says destroyed. We have a
destroyed. Okay, a building of God we have. A house not made by
hands.
Hold
it right there. You have a glorified body now in heaven. It just hasn't been manifested to you yet. And when you leave here, you go on to a new body. It's a body that's not going to be all of the things that we have right here around us. Amen?
Thank God.
But this flesh has got to be destroyed.
Yes.
He's got to get rid of the flesh. Amen? And look what he says there. The body is eternal. What kind of mess you can lose your salvation? If it's a gift, and then it's eternal, it's an eternal gift to us.
Yes.
Thank God.
Now, I'm not going to be intimidated by anybody. I don't care if it's the Pope, the Bishop, or anybody else. You can't tell me I can lose my salvation when the Word of God tells me I was chosen before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. And I know in whom I believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I mean, it gets to a point where you got to die for this thing. You got to believe enough that you'll die for it. Amen? We have to take a stand. You just can't let people come and just run over you. Either you believe it or you don't. All right, go ahead, Elder.
Thank God.
I see the time is running, but I got 5 minutes because Elder Pastor went over 5 minutes.
This
Go ahead.
A building of God we have, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen. All right. All right, as we come to a close here, I want you to go with me, please, to, first of all, I want you to go with me to, well, I'm just going to say it, and then you can just discuss it. You can read it. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works. But says in the Greek, it's product. We're God's product.
Mm-hmm. That's
Amen.
Right.
We're God's product. In other words, God made me the way I am. Amen. I can't do anything about that. Okay? So I have to live within the great bounds of grace with what he gave me, and that's it. Amen. That's where I am. If you see me and I got a problem, then love me anyway. That's the way God made me. That's the way God made you. Amen. And all of you got as many problems as I got. Amen. Or more. Amen. How many people we got here today? 25 or 30 people? Each person probably got 10 problems. 25 people, that's 250 problems here. So I'm not, but God, through grace, can handle them all. Amen. Ephesians, so as, I want you to go with me, and this is my last scripture here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And, you know, I always tell Pastor that 1 and 12 is my favorite scripture until I started looking a little bit more and I got into the other ones there. But I love 1 and 12, but 1 and 12 is even greater when I read 1 and 7. Go ahead.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Wishing to be large teachers, not understanding either what things they say, nor concerning what things they emphatically assert.
Go ahead.
We know now that the law, if anyone it is lawfully uses, knowing this, that for a just man a law is not laid down, but for lawless men and for unruly, for impious, and for sinners, and for unholy, and for profane, and for prodigals, and for
men stealers,
for men killers, for fornicators, for perjurers, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurers, and if any other thing to the being helpful teachers opposing.
Amen. Okay, I had you read the wrong thing, I'm sorry. Okay, just bear with me then. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, just a second. I'm sorry, Elder. Let's go to, for sake of time, let's go to verse, just read that for me and I'm out of here. 2 Timothy chapter 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy.
Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Not for gave to us God a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of self-control.
Amen. Go ahead.
Not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord of us,
amen,
nor of me the prisoner of him, but suffer ill with the gospel according to the power of God.
Amen. Go ahead. Verse 9.
Of the one having saved us and having called us with a holy calling, not according to the works of us, but according to his own purpose and grace.
Amen.
Given to us in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Before times eternal.
Amen. Amen. And verse 12. Go to verse 12.
Is it verse 12? For which cause also these things I suffer, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and how I have been persuaded that he is able to deposit of me to God to that day.
Amen. And I just want to say this and I'm down. And I want you to know that I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to the deposit of me to guard that day. That day is coming for all of us. Amen. And the thing we have to remember is that God has called us, he saved us, and we want to be thankful for what he's done. This grace message is a message that I love dearly, and I thank God for your time of listening to me today. And I thank the pastor for giving me the opportunity to speak. Grace, unmerited favor.
Thank God.
No favor of all. None is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor of God.
Amen. He saved us through divine election. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.